Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I have the beautiful and talented Christine Campbell-Rathen, and she is a success coach and lifestyle strategist. She is the owner of Clear Acceleration, Inc., and founded the online community Scale Your Business to six plus figures, we must know that, and beyond in 2018. With over 25 years thriving in the corporate world, she has learned to define success in her own terms. Today, she helps business owners transition from buying a job. I love that statement. We're going to have to unpack what that means, to running a thriving business without driving themselves into the ground for little or no profit through high ticket offers. Christine is international best-selling co-author for the book Heal 4.0, You Have the Power. And she holds a Bachelor of Commerce and an MBA in international business. And she's come all the way from Montreal this morning. No, Toronto.
Canada. Well, Canada as a whole, I'm going to say just outside of Calgary.
Oh,
up on the west.
Right. Yeah.
I met with somebody today from Montreal.
Yeah, my apologies. Yes, we were just chatting about Montreal. It was in my head, but I knew it wasn't there. That's why I jumped to the beautiful Alberta.
Yes.
Yeah, very nice. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, Christine and I had a great conversation the other day, and we covered so much territory that I said, you've got to come on the podcast. We could have nearly recorded our whole conversation and that would have been the podcast. She's got so much information to share that will be of high value to the listeners. Christine, I know I talked in a little bit about your business with the intro, mm-hmm. but we really want to get to know Christine. So tell me about you, and it said you're in corporate. But where did you come from? What's the purpose of what you do?
Yeah, I have quite an interesting story as a human, I think, and certainly an interesting story on the career side. I always jokingly tell people I am Canadian born. I have lived in 5 countries, 30 cities, some of them more than once. And that leads people to ask me, did I come from the military, a military family? The answer is no, although I have close ties to it. And I can't tell you if I am in the Witness Protection Program. Sort of against the rules. But I did, intriguingly enough, I have signed the Official Secrets Act of the UK when I lived there. Now the plot thickens. So I'm
intrigued.
I was an adventurer, and I credit my parents for a lot. They really helped me believe that, you know, I could be and do anything I really wanted. And I set my sights on the land of corporate. And I've spent my career almost always being the only woman at the table. I've worked in heavily male-dominated industries and teams. There's been some real good highlights in terms of some results and some real lowlights in terms of the experience of what it's really like being a woman at the table of a group of men. And I did know from a really young age I would do something on my own. I didn't know what it would look like, but when I was a little girl, I loved to play shop. I loved the idea of business. I did go and get a business degree right out of university or right out of high school. But I never imagined that I would have the 3 businesses I did today. But the adventurer in me really did believe that if I was curious and I was willing to learn, that anything was possible. And that's a big part of who I am and what I love to help other people discover about themselves.
That's a great word, curious. I used that yesterday I was teaching a gentleman who is wanting to build, he's in owns a $1 billion business, but he wants to be able to speak well. Here am I stumbling over my words as I'm teaching him to speak well. And he's got a daughter to read to, and to get that light and shade as you would with reading to a small child. And that was the word I used with him to define even how to read to her, make it sound as if it's curious, to spark that curiosity in her, because it's such a wonderful sense, isn't it, that it becomes a bit unrelenting to get a result if you're curious.
It has been both a blessing and probably a limitation. I am always interested in what's around the corner. I am fascinated by the world around me, even when it is glorious and a train wreck. And I'm a work in progress on that journey. But I often say to people, the number one goal when you are trying to communicate, and communication is essential in business and in life, your goal is to spark curiosity. It's not to vomit your knowledge or your expertise or talk at people. What we really thrive on is connection. And that's why you and I had such a fun conversation. It's we're curious about each other. We're curious about the stories. We're curious about where we intersect.
Yes.
And where we differ.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm curious to know whether one of those five countries was Australia, but I at all?
It's not yet. Maybe yet. That will be number six.
It'll be a must too. And then we'll eventually catch up in person then, and we can.
It'll happen.
Absolutely. Put it out there and it definitely will happen. In the introduction, I said the word, well, your words, repeated your words, that buying a job. Mm-hmm. What is your definition of that? How would you explain that?
Well, I think for a lot of the people that I work with, you know, we start by feeling some level of dissatisfaction. And that doesn't mean that you hate your corporate life, but there's some level of limitation that you're in. Either I don't want to move up, I don't want to move sideways, maybe it is a feeling of lack of value or contribution, but there's some quest for something more. And that more is the spark. There's the curiosity that says, what else could I contribute? And many people start a journey in the world of business where they buy themselves a job. And that might be a side hustle. It might be a full-time role, but it takes more than an idea to create the business. And that's where people often go into saying, I just need it. And anytime you start with just, I'm always shuddering a little. I just need it to replace something. And that could be, you know, my feeling of value. It could be my income. It could be my community. It could be a lot of things. But your measure of whether you're successful or not is looking back at the measures of a job. And we can get into the habit, and I see it a lot with emerging entrepreneurs, that you get busy, like you're busy in a job. And that doesn't necessarily help you move towards creating a successful and thriving business that supports your lifestyle and provides you profit and income and cash flow. And I see it because you're like, oh, I was at all these meetings this week. I said, great. But remember, you're not an employee. You bought yourself a job. At the end of this week, if you do not do the three things that generate business, you don't have one. You do have an expensive hobby. And there's a lot of fluctuation. There's a lot of being lost in this where people are like, well, I just need it to do the basics of a job. And I'm like, that's dangerous territory.
Yes, that's something I do see a lot with that busyness. Mm-hmm. And we all get busy at different times because there seems to be a lot come in at a particular time, but it's not just being busy. And sometimes it's worn as a badge, isn't it? That feeling, 100%. If we're busy, then look at me and I'm getting a lot done. So I changed it many years to the word I was very productive. And it just has a different sense to it, a different sense of ownership to it.
Because, well, we think it needs to be a 9-to-5. Mm. How absurd is that? Like, who else I will tell you, in a corporate world, I didn't ever work a 9-to-5 because I was a senior leader as a woman at the table. And boy, did I work way more than that. Mm. And so that sometimes even the habits, it's like, well, I have to work 5 days a week and I have to work Monday to Friday and I have to be in back-to-back meetings. And it is easy to slide into the rhythms of what is known. Mm. And there's no reason why that known is the platform to create a business around.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And it's, excuse me, it's early for me recording this and it's later for Christine. If I go croaky, my voice just hasn't woken up yet. It hasn't warmed up yet. I do apologize if I'm sounding croaky this morning to the listeners. That's such an important thing. I work with so many people who are just so overwhelmed and there's not that time for themselves, or they're not allowing that time for themselves, just even to have that balance. Because if you don't have the balance and you don't allow time and opportunity to do things that you really love to do, then it does feel like a real burden, even though it's your own business.
Mm-hmm. And you forget why. You know, like I always take it back to, you know, why did you start this? Because in many cases in the business where you talk about, you know, you buy the rhythm of a job because it's comfortable. It's what's known. The comfort zone is not what's great. It's just what's known. And the struggle can be, there's no parallel there that needed to be there. You drew a line there. Second component of it, what is it that you want it to achieve? Many times I say to people, if it's just the delivery of the service, because I work with service-based entrepreneurs, then you are really better getting a job. Because your commitments are in the box you want to play in. They will have known parameters around it. And you are comfortable trading time for money. Because you think, if I deliver the service, I get paid for the service. But a business is much, much more than that. And that's often where the struggle really starts, is especially as an early entrepreneur where you're wearing a lot of hats you never imagined. And that's why you start to feel overwhelmed. And that's why you start to work more than you ever imagined. And then when you don't take care of the metrics, or even are aware of what's driving the work that you're doing, you're busy, but you're not focused on the things that create the results you want. And then you are in a dangerous place saying, well, if I just work what I got paid as a salary, which is also, I would just kindly say, is a bad benchmark, because you didn't get paid just your salary. You had benefits, you had supports, you had some office equipment supplied, you had all these extras. Typically in most advice course, I'm like, that's 30% more. So even if you went like for like, add whatever you made before plus 30%, that's a comparable number. But was your stress the same? Was the amount of workload the same? And suddenly you're realizing, I'm not sure I'm trading this very well. I feel like I've bought myself a job.
That's
a lot more package.
Yes, and that's a great analogy. And that is something people do forget. It's not just the income. It's all of the extra expenses, all of the loss of benefits that go along with that. But there are so many things that we know when you're going into your own business that bring that make it worthwhile, especially when you're first starting out. There's things that you've got to do, and we'll go through those three top points in a little bit. That there's things that we have to get skilled at. Even if they eventually outsource them, we have to understand them in our business, and because you can't just outsource everything and have no knowledge of what's going on in your own business. And when you're first starting out, you've really got to maybe learn how to do a lot of things that you, as you said, never had to do in a job, because there was always someone else in IT or somebody else that did the graphics or somebody else that, you know, did the marketing, and you were the tech, or you delivered the service. It's quite a different space, isn't it? But you're starting out, you have to take on that.
And I think that's the scope of it is unknown. And it is terrifying a little bit, because that's the first thing you realize, wow, I have to support my own IT. What happens if I can't get logged onto my systems? What happens? What systems do I choose? Which, you talk about outsourcing. One of the early mistakes I see a lot of people who buy themselves a job run into is that, okay, I know that I don't know IT, or I know I don't know an admin. I'm not a very good communicator. I don't know systems as well. And so I start outsourcing it. And there's a time and a place. And I'm a big fan of that. That skill requires it to be more than you. And skill is even lifestyle, not just income here. It's really about the life you want. But the big challenge is that you can't abdicate responsibility for it. And that's often what happens too early, is you hire somebody without real knowledge of what it is you're asking for. Some people will hold you to that, please tell me what you're looking for. And some people will just take your money. But both of you are then looking at each other saying, isn't that your responsibility to figure this out? And then you spend a lot of time making no traction, but it's costing you every day, time and money. And then it's like, well, I feel burned by the experience. And said, you know, you must learn, you make a great point. You must learn the skills to know what questions to ask, to understand how it connects, so that you can deliver consistently in a way that feels good for you. And even if you have a team.
Yes. Yeah. I know that that is so incredibly important. And there's certain things that, you know, I'm really happy to outsource any accounting issues, you know, but I still have to reconcile my own bank account so I can send the things off to my bookkeeper. And
you have to know what to look for.
That's right. And it's not a fun thing to do for me. It's not my realm, but I know, it's just part of having to do business. And after we get off the call, that is the number one priority today for me, because if I do it early, then I don't put it away. And as you said, if you're going to scale your business, you definitely have to outsource or employ, depending on how you want to choose to do that. And finding the right people, as you said, by knowing and asking being able to ask the right questions. And like you, we're involved in, you know, different networking groups. Finding people within those groups who you can resonate with is a much better way to go, or someone who is referred, rather than, you know, just Googling accountant or virtual assistant. We really have to make sure that we connect with people, don't we?
To find out what's
best for us.
This is the thing that makes me crazy, and honestly makes me crazy, is this idea that is who do you consult in the business journey? Be cautious consulting people who've not walked the journey ahead of you. So that's the land of Google. Who knows what you're going to get from an answer? If your parents have never been entrepreneurs, don't go seek their advice. They're not entrepreneurs. Mm. Same thing with your spouse or partner. It's really important, yes, to join a community. Networks are great for that, because you can go to a trusted circle who are living in the journey with you and saying, I need a starting place. Just because somebody is happy with somebody else's service doesn't mean that they're going to be a great fit for you. Mm. You have to interview them. But that's not one of the things that many solopreneurs don't realize. And if I came from corporate and I did have leadership of people experience, lots of entrepreneurs don't. You know, they've been great skilled contributors in a corporate setting, but I'm like, you're responsible for setting boundaries, for payroll, and we're more motivated to create revenue and profit if somebody else is dependent on us than we are for ourselves, interestingly enough, because we feel an obligation. But I said, be careful who you go to. When I am looking to outsource, I do start with my business network, and then I go and investigate who is the right fit. And if I can't find the right fit, I have to recognize I must create the talent I need. It's a slower path. But then I'm going to go back to my network, to experts, and ask for it. I see so often people chase the slowest, lowest common denominator and think that that's a good bet. And then my answer usually is, how many times do you want to pay for this?
That's really interesting, isn't it? And that's the value in something. And it's the same as, you know, that you deal, help coaches in service-based industries, the value of that service. It's different than the cost. Mm-hmm. And what is that value to somebody else? It's such a different space to be thinking in, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm always looking for people who will be thinkers because I want to, my goals, my particular business goals are growth and scale and impact and on more than what I'm doing now. I said, I need somebody to be thinking with me, not just executing the piece I need. And know that. Talk about outsourcing. The first thing I outsourced in my business wasn't a business service at all. It was having my house cleaned. Why? Because I work from home and I'm on the screen all the time. And I'm like, if I could spend one more hour with a client or doing something that grows my business, it was substantially more impact than what it would cost to bring in somebody to clean my house. But I love a clean house. And I knew that if I didn't have a clean house, I would stop what I'm doing to go clean my house for 3 hours. I'm like, well, that's not helping my business, actually.
No.
It's really not. And it was the first thing I outsourced. The second was accounting. And I used to do all my own books. And I was like, this is not value added time anymore.
No. Or I just take a lot longer than somebody who can do it much quicker than me.
That's right. And then it becomes, how many hours do you want to work? And I'm like, okay, if I trade a bit of income for a bit of result, is the trade worth it? It is when you reappropriate those hours and not just simply add more hours. Because my goal was like, I don't want to be working like I did in corporate 100 hours a week. I didn't want that anymore. I'm like, okay, then I need to be more focused on the right things and things I know where I bring value, but nobody else can duplicate, which is my knowledge and experience, and other things where I'm not great at. Could take me 1 hour, could take me 20 hours. What's the better spend?
And that's such a good point, because a lot of people will try and save money by not doing that, thinking that they can't afford that expense, but that time, in your case and in mine, I do like to allocate that for, you know, a game of golf or lunch out with
anything,
whatever that works.
Or golf someday. Let's do that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Can't quite hit the ball that far, but
that'd be fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, as far as Canada, but that, yeah.
Keep trying. You've got a year.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's that exchange of money and productive time. I remember years ago, I listened to a money expert speak, and they were talking about spending money. And, you know, if you're buying that $100, $150 dress, are you prepared that that is an exchange of an hour's working time or 2 hours of working time? So I've used that for nearly everything that I bought that is, let's call a dress frivolous, that type of spending. It's not really, but we know in that type of spending. Am I prepared to exchange that for that? And if the answer is yes, then I don't balk at the price. If I'm not prepared to exchange it, well, then I won't do it. And it was a really good exercise for me, because you never had buyer's remorse. And you were very selective. I was very selective about what I purchased, and it had high value then.
And it is about, you know, whenever you're spending money, and I understand the dynamics, because if you are coming from the corporate space and you have either come in a side hustle and you're funding your dreams with somebody else's paycheck day to day, or you are all in and saying, at the fastest I can get to revenue and profit being more than my expenses, the more breathing and sleep I'll get. You know, like that's the goal line. And the conversation really is that trading time for money, but that is very much a mentality of an employee. And said, you know, if I work an hour, expect to get paid an hour. But when you are building a business, it's not that linear. There are cause and effect, yes, but that's the trade. And it's like when I looked at some of the first big expenditures in my business, I said the first one, I outsourced getting my house cleaned. Second thing was accounting. And the third thing was support on the skills that I was lacking. And to me, it was hiring a business coach for somebody who was at a place in their business where I knew I wanted to get to. I knew I could get there in 5 years if I did it on my own. But then I asked myself, when I look in the mirror, will I recognize myself if I kept this pace at 5 years? And I thought, oh my God, I'll be haggard and old. Just more like I could run over by a tire truck or something. And realize, or if I work with somebody who's already got a proven system, who is strong in the areas I am not, and I just used their roadmap and took some of the guesswork off, I would probably get there in two. So was that a smart spend? And don't be clear, I spent 6 months every time I got the bill going, don't panic. Don't panic. Do you believe in where you're going? Are you seeing momentum build? Are you doing the right actions? And I could see it. I didn't have that necessarily trade on the money yet, but I knew I was moving faster towards it than I was going to do it on my own. And it was the smart decision, because I stopped looking at trading time for money and went, this will exponentially pay for itself in value. And I wasn't prepared for a 5-year runway. I can't ask everyone to put up with that journey with me.
Yeah, that's a great description of that. Absolutely. And it is so important to understand that I do this at the start of every year. What skills do I want to learn this year to take me personally or my business further? And then I go and invest in those skills. I've done that all for many, many years. And there has only been one bad choice, but the rest of them have been incredible choices that have, one, given me skills that I, even though I'd come out of top senior management in running a a medium-sized business that I was the GM, the skills learned by running your own business is very different than sitting in that space, because we had all that support. But it just means that now I can share all of that knowledge with my clients, because, and they don't have to invest in the hundreds of thousands of dollars that I did getting it to here. And part of what I do, because where I am in my business and career now, is I love seeing people get that oh my goodness, I can do this moment. And be in that space. Yeah, that's one of my whys, absolutely. And I know that would be with you too, Christine, is that sense of achievement that your clients get, and that sense of belief and confidence in their own future and their own ability. Yeah. Now, I know when we spoke, you had a couple of non-negotiables, daily non-negotiables that people have to do.
I do. You know, this is an interesting thing, because I think this is where busy is really, it is a cultural thing. We have got this hustle culture. It's pervasive. It's the reason you're feeling overwhelmed. And when we first start on the journey, and you listen to some of the noisiest voices in the entrepreneurial space, it's a numbers game. It's about hustle. It's about, you know, trading time for money and all these things that just are a little bit heartbreaking, because you know somebody who's working hard, 3 or 4 jobs. They're still not successful in your eyes. Be careful chasing, I call them false icons. But I say to people, when I built my first business, this is actually how I became a coach. Actually, I didn't set out to be one. I knew I'd be an entrepreneur, and I was doing my own business, and I was running it 1 hour a day as a side hustle, and it was doubling every year. And people kept coming to me saying, what are you doing differently? And I said, I treat my business like a business. If you want your business to pay you like a business, you must treat your business like a business. And you are the business owner, sometimes the business operator, but you've got to decide where that role is. And people start to say, okay, you seem to have known something I don't know. Could you share it? And I said, sure, I have non-negotiables. And they're like, okay. And then they ask me what they were, and I'll tell you what they were. But then they're like, I know the theory, but I'm not implementing them that consistently. Could you help me? And that's actually how my coaching really started to take momentum, because I was doing and walking my walk. And I knew business inside and out. I worked in 12 industries, completely unrelated. I said, business is business. Whether it was service, manufacturing, pharmaceuticals, fast-moving, intellectual, didn't matter. Products were products to me. The first thing is about the fact that your business will be built on strangers. Not your best friend, not your parents, not your Rolodex of whoever you left in corporate who said, I'll go with you. Trust me, if you get them to go with you, I will set up some charades and some firecrackers, because the promise is easy. The movement is sticky and hard. So you've got to recognize your business is going to be built on strangers. So you've got to go meet them. Non-negotiable. So I said, you've got to meet more people, more ways, more often, and have a very intentional strategy. I recommend 50 to 70% of your time is on this single thing, no matter how much time, whether it's 1 hour a day or a full-time commitment for you. That's just speed. Meeting strangers, intentionally putting yourself in wider circles, because you've got to recognize that it is not who you know today that will create business success for you tomorrow. And too often, why we buy a job is you believe I'm capable and I have a product or service that the world will want. And you fall into, I call it the Kevin Costner Field of Dreams business strategy. You know the one, I'll build it and they will come.
They will come.
And they don't. And then you're going, what did I do wrong? And you have this festive field of crickets. And you're wondering, well, now what? And then you start to search for these easy answers and shiny objects, and down the rabbit hole you go. But number one is you must build audience, and you must be very intentional about it. In my business with high ticket offers and service-based businesses, I do 3 things. I network, I speak a lot, and I host events. Why? Because they're all experiential and they all spark curiosity that leads to conversation. How does all of my business growth happen? In conversation, all of it.
So interesting. That's exactly what I've been doing over the last 3 days, is going to events, networking, and I was speaking tomorrow and hosting my own event tomorrow. That's exactly what we do every week. It's It's so important.
And people forget it. They get hide behind their screens. They get back into, I'm going to write some more copy, or maybe it's the graphics. Maybe I need a new logo, and we spin. None of that's helpful. None of that brings you audience. You must create the audience. And this is one of my favorite pieces to play in, because every day, I just want you to hear this. Every day, millions of people were looking for a solution. Three biggest traffic sites in the world, Google, Pinterest, and YouTube. What are they? Search engines. What are people doing? They're searching for something. If you are not there to be found in building an audience, you have a big gap to bridge. But that's number one, the non-negotiables, audience building and meeting strangers. You can't go talk to them.
Just on that, this event I was at yesterday, I hadn't met a couple of people, and then realized I'd met them a few years ago, but they'd come up to me and said, I see you everywhere. Okay, I know, I am everywhere.
That's my strategy, because the moment you start to look for a solution, I need to be the first one you see.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that it's omnipresent with 24/7 activity on social media, but there is a lot of ways to be visible consistently, and that will pay the long-term dividends in your strategy. So that's got to be number one. And most people don't do it, and they do it haphazardly. And then they create this really artificial peak and valley. I'm really great at the service delivery. Wait, I have no clients. I've got to go network. I now have clients. I go deliver it. And then it's just a huge roller coaster. But let me tell you, spoiler alert, your bills don't happen that way. So smooth that out. It'll be a lot less stressful. But you got to meet some people. So the second, so non-negotiable for me is a clarity piece. And it's, I call them the so what factors. You've got to get clear on three things. Why are you doing this? Number one, because it's got to pull you past the convenience of what is known, because you're doing everything for the first time new. You're a business owner. Welcome to the party. So the why is really important. It's got to pull you. It's got to be a non-negotiable. I will take action today. And whatever that focus really is, but it's got to be really high, that it's not just a fantasy. You can't be a wannapreneur. You got to be the entrepreneur. The second thing is, what's the problem that your ideal client is having? And I don't mean the surface problem. A lot of people think it's really a surface problem, but it's, what does the problem cost them? You need to enter into the conversations that are happening in their head, around their kitchen table, at the cricket field, or wherever they're spending their social time. You need to see them, and they need to feel seen in that moment. And too often, the reason business owners struggle is because they only stay at the surface level of the problem. And a perfect example is, you know, if people think this is my solution, skincare, the problem is bad skin. The problem's never bad skin. Telling me I'm ugly is not a good way to sell me anything. But what does bad skin cost me? It costs me confidence. It costs me income. It costs me job opportunities. It costs me relationship. You want to talk to me about any of those things and how you can help me build confidence to love the skin I'm in, and you have my curiosity piqued, and I'm willing to learn and potentially follow down the path of what your solution is.
Yes.
But the so what is key.
I ran some sales training on Monday morning, and they're the two words that I use all the time when I'm doing sales training with clients to get to the problem. It's so interesting. And they would give me an answer, and I'd go, well, so what? And then they'd give me another answer, and I'd go, so what? And I said, look, I can keep this up all day. But it's so important. It's
And we don't drill enough.
No, it's very interesting. We're very much on the same wavelength.
I love it.
Exactly the same words I use. Yes, so what?
And it's true.
You'll hate me at the end of this, but you'll love me and hate me, because I just keep asking that question. So what? You know, we've got our umbrella is made of cloth. So what? You know, who cares? I don't care.
Those are the two, exactly. And that leads to the third one, which is, you know, why are you the right guide for a specific person? There's a lot of perception that I'm the solution or my products are the solution. They're not. They're the vehicle. They're not. They're just a transportation device. And you're the right guide for only a small group of people. There is an inverse relationship that the more specific you are in who you serve and call to, the more potential your business will scale and be profitable. If you're serving everybody, you're serving nobody. So it's really understanding, and that's about you knowing your own value, which we all hate to look at, but you got to know it. And more importantly, you need to see it through the lens of the other side. we often struggle with this. We're like, we get into the how and the product and the features and the benefits and who cares? Why does it matter to me? What's the result I'm going to get? Why are you the right person who's going to see me through this journey that I trust, I like, I know is competent, and I'm willing to put my faith and dollars in your pocket to help me on the journey? And if you can't get these three, so what? That's the second key thing that you have to be able to know, articulate, and communicate. You sound like everybody else in the marketplace.
Mm.
And that's yes. dangerous.
And that's the thing, isn't it? We as technicians, we're good at what we do. We start our business, whether it is a service-based or a product-based business, we're great at, and we have this amazing product sitting here waiting for someone to come along and grip with both hands. But it's, if you can't articulate it, again, it's the who cares? Nobody, it's what's in it for me. That has to be where everyone's coming from when you're speaking to other people. Why would they care? What's in it for them? And because we're so busy in our own worlds, most people don't spend the time, unless something really attracts them, to a product or a person. But it's we really articulating that. So what? Who cares?
Yeah. and part of it is because we want to show our expertise. Mm. We're a little uncertain. We're on uncharted territory again. We're business owners now, and we're trying to ensure we can have a roof over our head. So we want to show our expertise. And so we talk a lot about information.
Mm.
And information is premature if I haven't sparked your curiosity. And that's the big disconnect I see. And people are like, why doesn't everybody want what I have? I'm posting and I'm all over social media. And I'm like, none of that is relevant to me. And I actually didn't see myself as your target. And you're like, you're my target. I'm like, I didn't see myself in that lens.
Mm. Yes,
not seen.
Yes, getting clear on the message to the target. And I know that's when I work with people, you can have a few different targets, but then you'll need a few different messages. Mm-hmm. Because that person has to go, that's me. They're talking to me, rather than it's just a random shotgun effect and hope that somebody is listening somewhere. But if if you're a dog walker, and if you say something along the lines of, if you've got one of those cute little pups that just loves to get out and walk, but you're not feeling at the moment and you're injured, well, then this is for me. Well, then you've hit the exact mark with that particular audience. You may walk 5 dogs and they'll all be different sizes, but that message is to that person on that day, and you'll hit it. Yeah.
And this is an art, and there's a science to it too, but this is where it's really helpful to work with somebody to do this. It's very challenging to do it on your own. Mm. And so just, know that this is not a weakness to go get help on this, because you think you're clear. The most important thing is to ask somebody else, tell me what you think I do. Mm. Tell me how you think I do it. And if you work with me, what's the result of this? And this is something that you're constantly fine-tuning, constantly thinking, great, they now see me. That's the first one. Second thing is, what do I want them to do? And have I invited them to take action? I think, business in the non-negotiables is always about creating movement. Note, not all movement's forward in any business, but movement creates momentum. So you're in activity, meeting strangers, you're really clear on talking about your so whats, and which are, your why. People want to connect to you first. They don't really care about your business. Really, they don't. So don't talk about your business till you're invited to do so. Why are you understanding the problem and what it costs them?
Mm.
And why are you the right guide? And then the third non-negotiable is you need to recognize that it is not complicated funnels or tech that moves people.
Mm.
Curiosity moves people, and curiosity is best moved through conversation. And get into conversation, pick up the phone, get on a Zoom call, go practice your communication skills, recognizing that you're there to support, nurture, share and build confidence that you are a credible person in their sphere, because they're judging you. That's just
absolutely
true. Are you credible? Can you walk your walk? Do I like you? Do I think I would feel comfortable being vulnerable in front of you? And everybody's vulnerable if they're some kind of value exchanging, because there's a disparity there. And if you are able to build nurturing through conversation, there's a scientific study. This is about the brain and how it's wired. That if you can get people to buy into some level of truth five times, the sixth time is almost always another affirmation. So you're nurturing. I see you. Oh, I feel seen. I have some valuable information. Gee, I appreciate that. Oh, you're doing something I'm interested. Gee, that's another step forward. And then if you get to the place where they pop up into, again, another conversation, and there's a recognition of value, you're in the right conversation to say, would you like me to share a little more? And they often will say to you, tell me exactly what you do, because I'm kind of curious.
Yeah.
And that's not a sales conversation yet, by the way. You're not jumping from first date to marriage, but you are working in conversations, and you need to learn the art of conversation, because honestly, that is the fastest thing that will propel your business. And so often we get stuck in thinking it's complicated, it's tech, and if I just do sales landing pages, I said, I personally don't take clients through that process ever, because I want to choose who I work with.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an important factor as well. I have to tell you a little anecdote. I got this phone call. I was in the grocery shop the other day, and I got this phone call that someone had connected us with this gentleman. And I said, I'm in the grocery shop, so I can only talk for a few minutes because I'll be heading out. 20 minutes later, I think I got three words in. He was bombarding me with sales conversation about SEO. And when I finally got a word in, I said, oh, I think I know the reason that she connected us, because I was looking to connect with marketing people because I help them with their clients get the sales. They'll help them get them to the door. I help them get them through the door. I can understand it. Well, what you'll need is to work with my wife, who is an Instagram expert. She's absolutely brilliant. And then went on for another 10 minutes. I said, I need to leave the shop now. And I said to him, what you've done has been extremely unprofessional. And you're just selling at me. We haven't even met, and you're selling it. Oh, well, let's have a Zoom next week. I'm thinking, no. And then as we sort of got to the checkout, just about to hang up, and he said, oh, well, the SEO will only be $500 a month. I'm thinking, you don't even know me. You don't know what my requirement is. Nothing. And you're telling me it was horrible. And I did contact the person and said, just be mindful if you're sharing this person connecting. It's not, don't do it again.
And there's a difference between, you know, and I think that's, again, old school thinking, is this idea of hunting. I'm hunting for clients. I'm looking to close clients. There's all this language around it. Mm. And said, you know, a new client is a new beginning. Mm. And you need to treat it as such. And through all of those conversations, you know, we're both, I said, judging. Do you have a need that I can service? Do I believe I'm the right person? Do I craft this whole conversation? Do I want to? Both sides are getting there. But then when you get there and someone says, I see something here, it's a very beautiful conversation. And it doesn't mean it's a yes, but there's a recognition of value. But it's also so illuminating on how you can help somebody. What could the service offering be? What are the real pain points? And if it's been something that you've stepped a little bit further away from, it brings you right back into the hot spots. Mm. And that's a really valuable, valuable piece of insight in your business. And I always say to people, careful, you know, you thinking you can abdicate selling. You are the best proponent and advocate for what you do.
Mm. Yeah,
you want to be listening in conversations all the time.
Yes, there's two of these. I'm pointing to my ears for people listening, and one mouth, and that use it in that proportion. It's something you use all the time in the sales training. And following on from that conversation, I came back to have a Zoom call with somebody that I'd been connected with as well. And we chatted about he makes rubs for meat for barbecuing, which is not what his business is. It was just a sideline. It was a conversation. And we just covered a whole lot of things in conversation, really got to know each other. And he's offered to send me some free rub when he has it made up the next order, which is very nice as well. But that sort of built that relationship a bit further, and then emailed, you know, saying it was a great conversation. That's all it was. There was no business sales component other than wanting to know more about what we do so we can start thinking along the lines of who we might want to recommend him to. But totally different space. Highly would recommend this person, and I would never consider the first person. Really, it's so important to get that right.
Well, and that's the first impressions. But, you know, I always say, you know, get clear on the actions that move your needle. Mm. Building an audience, getting clear on your so what factors and getting into conversation are the needle movers in every business. But from there, you're right. You need to be checking, what's my first impression?
Mm.
Because we are out of touch with it in many cases. And we see a lot of bad behaviors and we're like, well, maybe that's what it takes, is the vomiting of my business or the posting all over social media. So, you know, you can't be a state secret. Let's be clear. That's not helpful. That's why you need to be visible. But you want to be sure you're calling in a way that's an integrity, that makes a good first impression. You want to audit it. And I do it all the time with safe spaces and people's opinions. And like, if I'm changing my messaging, I'm asking, what do you think I'm asking for here? What do you think I'm calling? What do you think of these options moves you forward?
Mm.
And listen to the answers. And if you don't, you know, if you are in a selling conversation, not everything gets to yes, but if you don't get there, it's important to be asking the question, what was missing?
Mm. Mm.
If I could add it, would it change the dynamic? And then you should be reflecting, can you?
Yes.
Do you want to? And this is the key business owner activity. And it requires that you stop hiding behind a screen. And that is the biggest learning. And the more you do it, the more you accelerate confidence around it. Mm-hmm. Because I will tell you, it will feel hard and icky and weird. And it's only icky and weird in your head.
Mm.
Unless you be icky and weird in person. So don't do that.
I had one of my clients really step out of her zone the other day, and we need to wrap up. I'm going to do that in a second. And just not, she does admin and not comfortable. And so I got her to go to an expo and just walk around and talk to people. And she did it. It was uncomfortable for her, but it was of high value to be able to step out to do that. We could talk forever, Christine. There's so many topics to cover. Exactly in a short, you know, couple of minutes of how you help people and how can people get in touch with you.
Mm-hmm. So I work with service-based entrepreneurs who are looking to scale their business. I primarily do three things. Number one, it is going to be about the coaching of the getting stuff done, the taking the uncomfortable action. The second piece to me is bridging the gaps. It's actually a lot of skill teaching. So if you don't have the skills of selling, or you don't have the skills of communicating, or you're not a great networker, we're going to build skills and foundations with you. And then we're going to help you stay the course, because if left to our own devices, We kind of stop doing the basics. Well, and the basics are everything. There is so much magic in the simplicity. So that's what I'm all about. That's what I do with my clients, to help them create predictable revenue and stop working and trading time for money, or working 100 hours a week for little to no money and buying themselves a job. Best place to find me is on my ecosystem, or in my ecosystem, which is my website. It's ChristineCampbellRappin.com. There you're going to find free resources, events, great tools and things, and more about the services that I offer. You can also join my community from that and connect to me on social media.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. There's so much resonance between the way we do things and the way we think about things, which I always love. And that's where I find, and that's a part of the connection as well. We met through somebody else, introduced, had a great conversation online, and then we've extended it again on the mm-hmm. podcast now, and learning even more about each other and that connection of ideas. It's been wonderful. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you for having me.
And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I'm so glad that you could join us. And if you, there are another 130-something episodes, if you've missed them, go to my website, JeaneVosper.com, to download them. And while you're there, why not book in for a bit of a strategy call, a discovery conversation, and we can figure out whether I can help you or any of my beautiful experts are able to do that. Have a fantastic day, evening, night, wherever you are in the world, and bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Jeaneen's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.